There's not many holidays I get behind completely. Thanksgiving is my favorite, hands down and always has been, for a thousand different reasons. Christmas, for the bedrock message grounded in Christian faith, is another. I tend to give a lot of emphasis to the 4th of July because of its historical significance. But there are a lot of holidays that just don't seem to carry much, in my opinion. For example, it may brand me as something of a heartless curmudgeon, but my view on Valentine's Day is that it's largely a construct of the greeting card companies to get them through an otherwise dry patch on the calendar. Well, we're coming up on another holiday, and one with a great deal of meaning to kids. Halloween happens next week on Thursday. At times in my life, I know I've been on board with Halloween, certainly as a kid myself, but also at times as an elementary teacher and dad. Today, let's try to connect a few dots to link the upcoming holiday with the great outdoors. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I guess you could take the same approach to Halloween that I do with Valentine's Day. It's a commercial holiday. In this case, one that's bankrolled by the candy companies, to see a surge in sales as the year enters its last quarter. Know this, I wouldn't argue against you if that happens to be your mindset. So, Halloween in the great outdoors. While it's not so much an outdoor-centered activity, in the sense of many things I talk about on here, you could view it this way. For the most part, it happens outside. That's not necessarily a big thing across most of the lower 48. Here in Alaska, it might mean a pretty heavy coat under or over the costume and snow boots on the feet. I can remember more than a few Halloweens with my kids when snow and ice were part and parcel with the door-to-door experience in collecting candy. So there's that. Also, a fair number of critters associated with the holiday are real-life animals, and many can be found on Togiak Refuge. Things like wolves, bats, skeletons, zombies, kind of, and spiders. Let me attempt to support what I claim. But first, a bit of history, because I do like history. Halloween has been around for a long time and has changed a whole heck of a lot over the course of those many years. What we do today isn't anything like it started out, but then that's true for a lot of holidays. The day's origins date back to an ancient Celtic festival. The Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago in what we now think of as Ireland, England, and parts of France, celebrated their New Year on November 1st. The day marked the beginning of winter for them, and they associated winter with death, which is maybe why some area folks flee to southerly climates ahead of our winter, like peasants taking to the roads ahead of the arrival of Genghis Khan. The Celts also believed that on the night between the two, summer ending and winter coming, apparently, like us, they had no real fall, that the boundaries between the living and the dead became less defined and that ghosts could return to Earth. They believed their priests, called druids, could foretell the future. They celebrated this time with huge bonfires, animal sacrifices, well, PETA not yet up and on the scene, and they wore costumes. Well, obviously that's not what we do today, is it? Later, when the Romans pushed their way into parts of northwestern Europe, they sought to change the beliefs of those they conquered, as they often did. And they also did what they often did as well, combine their own practices and observances with whatever was local in an effort to push out what was local, but in a less forceful way in order to get more buy-in with those who were local. They did this with the Celts and their customs just as they did with everyone else. The end of harvest, beginning of winter festival was eventually replaced with Roman-driven, church-based things instead. In 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Pantheon in Rome in honor of all Christian martyrs and established the Catholic feast of All Martyrs' Day. Later, Pope Gregory III moved the observance from May 13th to November 1st. By the 800s, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands, where it gradually blended with and took the place of traditional Celtic rituals and holidays. In 1000 AD, the Church made November 2nd All Souls' Day. It was a day to honor the dead, and it's widely thought today that the Church was attempting an end-around to replace the Celtic version with a related Church-sanctioned holiday. All Souls' Day back then was celebrated in a way that was similar to what the Celts had been doing, with bonfires, parades, and costumes. The All Saints' Day celebration was also called All Hallowmas, which comes from a Middle English term at the time that meant All Saints' Day and as a result, the night before took on the name All Hallows Eve. Halloween eventually took root in America, as far back as colonial times. With the multi-ethnic background that began to take shape during the early days of our country, a very American version of Halloween began to emerge. Early celebrations would include play parties, harvest celebrations, and public events that included dancing and singing. There was still a tie to the dead, as ghost stories were told. Halloween continued to grow across the United States throughout the 1800s, and particularly over the second half of that century, as new immigrants helped to popularize its celebration. From the Irish and English in particular came the traditions of dressing up in costumes and going house to house to ask for food or money. There was also a move to make Halloween more of a community thing and to lose some of its more serious, scary elements. Over the last century, Halloween continued to evolve in the direction it's gone, with the focus on things being more community-based, such as the trunk-or-treat event held here in Dillingham, and the emphasis being on fun. Costumes and parades and parties became the name of the game through the 1900s, and it continues to be something of that today, though like a lot of things, it's also a lot more commercialized than anyone could have imagined. At this, I'd like to throw a bone, ha ha, to those who see it as nothing but commercialized. One quarter of all candy sold annually in the United States is purchased for Halloween, and Americans spend an estimated $6 billion each year on Halloween. As I mentioned at the beginning, there are some Halloween-associated animals around our area, including bats, wolves, zombies, kind of, skeletons, and spiders. None of them seem very scary to me, but I'll acknowledge I say that as someone who's never been in real close proximity to a wolf having complete freedom of movement. Bats and spiders, while they cause a type of phobia in many people, do nothing for me as far as fear goes. In fact, I largely see only the positives they bring to the table, such as eating stuff I don't care for. Skeletons? Yeah, we've got a lot of skeletons on the refuge, and we don't even bother to keep them in a closet. There are skeletons of all sorts, from small critters to large, though none of them figure to be up and around and scaring anybody. The zombies I speak of are our post-spawn salmon. Yeah, technically they're still alive, but with the way they look, and so close to the end of the line, you could certainly sell the idea that they're the walking dead, or I should say swimming dead. For sure, all of these things can be, are, or have been symbols associated with Halloween, and you can find them on Togiak Refuge. I would offer up that real life is filled with far scarier things. From an animal standpoint, maybe it's a mama bear or moose with young ones around. Those can be mighty scary. The idea of crummy winter scares me badly. While some people take to the air and fly to warmer places, the words "winter is coming," as made famous by the TV show Game of Thrones, turns me into an 8-year-old a week away from Christmas. Unexpected noises from assorted vehicles, such as an ATV or snow machine, or unexpected and unexplained stoppages, those can chill me to the bone in the blink of an eye, particularly if they happen far from home, which is something like 99% of the time. I can fix some stuff, but I'd stop short of suggesting I have any sort of mechanical skill. Weird noises or mechanical issues? Now that's some seriously scary stuff. And maybe that's what I should do this year. I should go trick-or-treating again myself. I'll dress up like a snow-go with a sputtering engine. Maybe I could seriously scare a few people, at least if they have a mechanical ability level similar to mine. At any rate, next Thursday will be another version of Halloween with kids in costumes running down community roads, looking for another big sugar score at each house they visit, just as they've been doing for years. Have fun, and be safe while you're out there. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.